I think it's important, though. I think what we need to do is understand Shantideva's context. Shantideva is someone who is on the Bodhisattva path, committed to the Bodhisattva path. He wants to transform himself. He wants to become spiritually substantial with real spiritual depth and insight. And he wants to benefit as many people as possible. He wants to give to as many people as possible. For him, getting involved with someone in that way, in the Indian context, would mean, probably, marriage, having a family and so on. And that, he would feel, would restrict him, would limit him. For him, it would limit his bodhisattva activity. The family might not be a supportive family. It might be hostile to his practice. And even if it was a supportive environment, it would need a lot of attention. And he wants to give that attention more widely. I'm not suggesting, through this, by the way, that we should all follow him. You know, we should all be like that. Not at all. I'm not suggesting either that we can't follow the bodhisattva path if we're married, with a family, or in a relationship. Not at all. Shantideva, I'm sure, wouldn't say that either. What I think is important is to see all our relationships within a wider context, within the context of the development of all-inclusive loving-kindness, within the context of Maitri, of Metta. And that is what Shantideva is really particularly concerned about. After his reflections on the dangers of desire and attachment, he then gives a whole series of reflections, of meditations, on loving-kindness. And these are really the most important part of this part of the text. Everything else is really preparatory. It's tremendously important, all this. Sometimes Buddhists talk, not sometimes, a lot of the time, Buddhists talk about the dangers of craving and greed and attachment. But it can sometimes happen, sometimes you find this in Buddhist text, that the positive isn't given, the constructive, the creative isn't presented. And you can come away sometime with the feeling Buddhism is misanthropic, that it doesn't like people, that it's sort of spiritually selfish. And there can seem to be a harshness about ordinary human emotions. Personally, I just don't see it like that. I see the Buddhist life really as more a case of ordinary human emotions like affection, friendliness and so on, needing to be cherished and cultivated and developed and transformed into bodhicitta. This is what I think we're doing in the Metta Bhavana. We're starting with just ordinary, you know, simple feelings of friendliness and warmth, and we're building them up and extending them and developing them to include more people. I said last night, I'd much rather a bit of a greedy, friendly Buddhist than an abstemious, cold and distant Buddhist. I know what I'd rather be, and I'd know what I'd rather be around. And for the Mahayana, which Shantideva belonged to, hatred is regarded as a far worse klesha, a far worse poison, mental poison, than craving. Because when you hate somebody, you cut them off. And that's the worst thing a bodhisattva can do. You know, with craving, you know, you're still sort of in relation to people. But with hatred, you cut people off. And that's the worst thing you can do if you're trying to follow the bodhicitta, follow the bodhisattva path. Of course, we should just note, craving itself can lead to hatred. How many breakups of lovers and partners have you seen which have been incredibly acrimonious, where people who were once so good to one another, so loving to one another, suddenly become arch enemies almost overnight, kind of lobbing metaphorical bombs at one another. So, you know, we have to be careful with craving and attachment too. It does, it can turn into its opposite.